Good morning, thank you very much.
To all the Misaskim, the Iskim, those that brought me in here for a real quick trip to Chicago. You know, normally you say that you want to tell your grandchildren that you were there on a historic occasion. Thanksgiving comes up with Hanukkah, you had a chance to speak, but in 70,000 years from now, I don't know if I'd be able to tell that to my grandchildren. So this is really something unique, that this doesn't happen certainly every day. The big mistake that we made when we organized today's shiur is talking, I think it's advertised as talking about three different areas, all have to do with a Gentile in the home, with a guy in the house, but it actually covers a good chunk of Erechaim, and a good chunk of Yeredeia, and a good chunk of Eben Ezer. And that's simply, no matter how much time we have, it's simply impossible even to touch the Ketzei Hamata, all the huge halachas that are involved in the Amir al-Akum aspect alone, of Shabbos alone, and certainly to get into it into Kashrus and to get into the halachas of Yichud and these things. So we are going to have to just maybe touch briefly on some of them, maybe talk a little bit longer about others, and we will leave a question and answer period to the end if anybody wants to bring up any subject that I know we're not going to get to, even though we would really would like. So let us start with something I think which is most negated to people, and that is the Shabbos Goy, certainly in one's home, and in other occasions we need to come on to Goyim today. We have such a sophisticated lifestyle, and we can't really part from it, Shabbos, and the Goyim come in handy. Shabbos Goy has always been part of Jewish life, and it's no different today. It's probably even more so in many ways that we need to come on to Goyim to try to help us navigate our lives. And the name of this Isser, if you talk to anybody, the name, the general overall title of dealing with the Goyim Shabbos, it's called Amira La'akum. It's called, if you want to say something, you want to give instructions to the Goy to do something on your behalf. That's the way this Isser is known. And what I would like to clarify today, if you at least walk away with this one Nekuda, is that this is a bad name to give to this halacha. It's a misleading name. To call this subject, this Nosei, to call it Amir al-Akum, limits the entire focus of the halacha and causes mistakes in its application and understanding the underpinnings of what Amir al-Akum is all about. So, I hope every time we walk away from it, we'll coin a new phrase for this overall Isser of dealing with the Goy and Shabbos. Everybody knows that Mishneh Berurah Chel Gimel is where the halachas of Shabbos are concentrated. The vast majority of the halachas are concentrated in Mishneh Berurah Chel Gimel. And in the front of every copy of the Mishneh Berurah, there's a Luach HaMafteches. There's a table of contents telling you in one line the subject matter of each one of the 102 simonim that there are in Chel Gimel of the Mishneh Berurah. If you go through it, you're not going to find one simon that's called Hilchas Amir La'akum. No, there's no such thing. There's sometimes maybe something similar, but a Hilchas Amir al-Akim, which you would think, you know, anybody, you have a Amir al-Akim question, let me open the Mishneh Berurah, find where it says Hilchas Amir al-Akim. You're not going to find it. And I believe that that's by design, because that name maybe has become popular, and there's even some Svarim out there who called Hilchas Amir al-Nachri and Hilchas Amir al-Akim. Those are the names of the subject, but it's a misleading name. And the Shulchan Aruch, whoever wrote this Mefteach, I'm not exactly sure it was, maybe the Chafetz Chaim, maybe somebody else, wrote this Mefteach, there is no simon, and there is no one particular simon of Shulchan Aruch called Hilchas Amir al-Akum, and this is what we would like to explain today at the get-go. So, let's talk about Amir, now that we know that there really is no such thing called Amir al-Akum, so let's talk about Amir al-Akum and try to define what it's all about. The words Amir al-Akum, which means to give an instruction to a goy to do something which is forbidden, are not connected primarily and even singularly to Hilchas Shabbos. It is actually a halacha that applies to Kol HaTorah Kula. Wherever there's something which a yid is forbidden to do, it's an aveira for a yid to engage in. So that's midaraisa. Midaraisa, the yid has a din that he cannot do a certain halacha. Come to the Rabbanan and say that not only could you be strong and not do this halacha, this isser, but they also may not instruct a guy to do that isser on your behalf. Nothing to do with Shabbos. In every area of Shulchan Aruch. If I'm instructing the guy, I can't do it, but you do it for me, do it since I can't do it, I'm asking you to do it for me, then you enter the Issa Rabbanan called Amir La'akum to perform something which is awesome. Some of them, there are not so many examples because I can't ask a guy to eat a piece of chazer for me. If he eats a piece of chazer, that's going to be for him, otherwise we would have a new diet out there. So we can't really do that. Most of the surim, you cannot do for me. But some of the classic examples that the place can give, it's already in the Gemara. There's a din or mashal that you're not allowed to draw a picture, a full picture of the sun. You're not going to make shamashim or imdim mamarim. So to draw a picture of the sun is awesome. And the same token, it is also to commission a guy to draw a picture of a sun for me, even though I may not even keep it, I use it, doesn't matter. I ask the guy, you do it for me, that is Amir al-Akim, I'm expecting a guy to do something for me. There's a case in the Gemara of Masachson Shor B'Dishai, that you can't have your cow thresh, you can muzzle its mouth while it's threshing, it's got to be able to eat. So you say to the guy, listen guy, I can't do it, you do it for me. That is Amir al-Akim, the Akim is acting on your behalf, and that is something which is usur. You're not allowed to be Misaris, a very common shayla, people have animals, and they want to neuter them, they want to make sure that they become infertile. That's an issur to do sirus and a behemah chai of life. So a lot of times you take it to the vet, and you say to the vet, do it for me. So then you act, asking the goy to do an issur, the raisa, generally, for you. That is also to do. You cannot do that. That is amira la'akum. And that is an issur, the rabbanim, which they levied across the board amongst all of the issurim of the Torah. There is a little bit of a shayla in some rishonim whether that applies to issur derabbanan as well. In other words, if something which I, Yisrael, cannot do the derabbanan, do I have an issur of amir la'akum b'cholat harikul and issur derabbanan? That's a shulz, maybe we'll get to that. But in issur deraisa, there certainly is a concept called that I may not instruct the going to do something for me. Now the question is why? Why did the derabbanan come up with this concept? After all, I'm Jewish, I cannot do issur. You're a guy, why can't you do an issur? Who cares that you draw a picture of the sun? So you're doing it for me, but why would that be awesome? Why would the Rabbanan add a level of issur on guy? Guy don't keep the Torah. Forget it. Guy is, we don't want them to keep the Torah. So why all of a sudden did the Rabbanan come up with this idea called that I can't instruct the guy to do something for me? So this is a good question, and the simplest answer is that it appears, when the guy does it, it appears as if he's my shliach. We know that there's a parasha called shlichus in the Torah. Shlichai shal adam kemoisoi. And therefore, if I do something and I commission you to do it, I make you my emissary, my agent, so that is done, being done in my behalf. So it's as if I did it based on the concept of shlichai shal adam kemoisoi. Now that certainly cannot be understood kipshutai, because the Gemara says everybody knows that a guy cannot be a shliach. Ma'atem b'nei bris, af shlichachem b'nei bris. You cannot make a guy a shliach. There is no parish of shlichus. I can't ask a guy to be mekadosh and isha on my behalf because he cannot do a shlichus. He cannot have a mafish truv. He cannot do a lot of things because he's not a ben bris. So why all of a sudden over here on the reverse side, when an avera is being committed, so then we say that this guy is considered my shliach as if I am performing this iser. It can't be. There's no shlichus la'akum in all areas of Torah. So over here, the Mefarshim explained, the best answer to this is that we're not talking about the parasha of shlichus itself. It cannot be a real shliach. But it's mechzi k'shluchai. It's dummy l'shliach. That's what the Creator seems to learn. It appears. Somebody be walking by, and he hears me instructing a guy, listen, I can't do this thing because the Torah doesn't let me. I want you to do it for me. So if you're not so well-versed, and you don't know all the legal legalities of Hilchos Shlichus, what does it look like to a person who's listening to these instructions being said? I'm asking you to do it for me. So it's a typical Gzeir Derabbanan. It's almost like a Maris Ayin situation. It appears that you're doing Shlichus for me. There's where Machmir, some Achreinim use the terminology, Yesh Shlichus L'chumra, that we're machmer to say that he's becomes a shliach. But we really can't do that because there is no shlichus in the Torah for a guy. But we could say that it appears like any other gzeir derabbanan. It's nira michl, like you have michzik and mevashel, and you have mevashel. So this is michzik and shlichai, just like there's a concept of shliach. And over here, the rabbanan came and said, if it appears like an avera, so then we already look at it as if it's your avera, and therefore we say that this is something that the rabbanan has said, you cannot instruct the guy to do something for you. in Hilchos Shabbos, this is the most applicable. We don't usually commission goyim to do issur for us because it's not so applicable. But in Shabbos, this is something which is much more negea that I would be asking a goy, since I cannot do so, I cannot turn on the light, I'm asking you to please turn on the light for me. So again, it appears as if this is mechzik hishluchai. The Rambam, when he discusses the concept of amir la'akum, he adds, he doesn't say anything but a shliach. That those terminology is not found in the Rambam, it's not found in the Shulchan Aruch. We find a Rashi somewhere that says such terminology. The Rambam says something very simple, but it comes in together with this. The Rambam says that the Rabbanim were concerned if you're going to tell a goy, if you're able to tell a goy to do an iser for you, it's going to cause a zilzal in the Kedusha, in the chaymer of the iser. And iser is strict. You keep away from the iser. Once you allow, you chip away at the iser, and you allow a goy to do something on your behalf, so then that iser becomes kal be'enecha. And the next thing is, you're going to do it yourself. You start off with a goy, you chip away at it. That's how it happens with prohibitions in the Torah. So it's again, this is a typical siyag. In order that the Yid shouldn't come to do it, came to the Rabbanim and said, don't even tell the Goy to do it on your behalf, because we want to protect the Jew to do it. Those concepts are the same. What's wrong that it appears like your Shliach is doing it? What's the issue? So it appears like that, but he's really not. But the answer is, you have to put in the Rambam the flavor of the halacha is, because anything that you do away to chip against the chaymer of the Isser, the severity of the Isser, lessens and loosens the Isser in the mind of the Jew. So if I could get away and I could find a loophole by allowing the goy to do this on my behalf, it's mezalazel of the chaymer of the Isser, and eventually the Rambam and Chazal in turn were worried that this is going to cause me to go ahead and do it. So this is b'chol ha-Torah kula. It's not just for Shabbos. Anytime that there's an Isser that I could instruct somebody else to do on my behalf, bypassing my Isser, that causes a zilzil, it causes a lessening of the chaymer of the Isser by me, and therefore, it independently, it makes me weaker, it's looser, or it appears as if he's my shliach, and that causes that to happen, and therefore, this is something which applies to Chalat and Kula, it is an Isser de Rabboni. An additional factor that we find, which is bazunder, which is specific to Shabbos, in addition to what we just said, is that on Shabbos we know that there's a din called Mitzay Chefzucha V'daber Dover. You're not allowed to engage in forbidden talk, not just in forbidden action. You're not allowed to say at your Shabbos table, tomorrow I'm flying to New York, since flying to New York is a forbidden activity. So you can't express yourself but doing something which is forbidden on Shabbos as well. So Amir al-Akim, when you tell the guy, put on the light, that is a deeper asr. That is a transgression of Mitzvah Chefzucha V'daber Dover Shalayi Deburcha Shel Shabbos Ki Deburcha Shel Choyl, because you're now telling him to do an action which is forbidden to do. So what's the difference if you're going to do that action tomorrow, or if this guy is going to do this action for you today? But in both cases, this is be considered a transgression of the Dibur. So that is special for Shabbos. We don't find that the Dibur about making a son, drawing a son, will be asr. There's no din called Mitzvah Chetzucha V'dab Dover. That is a special apostolic in Yishayah concerning Shabbos. So it's an additional factor which makes it maybe a little bit more chamor. For instance, the Pesach can say that there'll be a difference how you look at the Amir La'akum. Is it the first set of reasons that we said because it appears like you're a shliach? Or is it the second set of reasons because it's a part of a Dibur asr? Now, if Kamina will be something which a lot of people make a mistake about is that they think that Amir al-Akum is permitted on Friday, that I could instruct my cleaning lady or a guy that on Friday, which is a time that is mutter to do the Avaida, tomorrow come and do this for me on my behalf. So you're right. If the whole problem would just be Mitzvah Chetzucha V'daber Dover, Dibur Aser, well, on Friday, Dibur is not Aser, so you would be permitted to do so. But since there's an additional factor that's Michzik Shluchai and it causes Zilzal of Shabbos, so when this guy comes into your house and puts on the light, it also is Mirsik Ishluchai. And therefore, even though you told him yesterday, your Amira was yesterday, but his Maisa was today, and today it's Mirsik Ishluchai, and therefore be Asr. The reverse is true the other way around. What would be if you tell a guy on Shabbos to do something for you tomorrow on Sunday? I'm not going to see you. Come tomorrow on Sunday, do this action which is forbidden today, do it for me tomorrow on Sunday. If the problem is just Mechzik Shluchoi, that he's doing something which lessens the severity of the Isser, that may not be an issue. Because the Isser, the action is going to be done on Sunday. Sunday there's no problem of doing something. It's not a zilzil in the Kedusha Shabbos. But since there's the additional factor that you can't express yourself in the language of Isser, so therefore the instruction being given on Shabbos is also forbidden. So we need both of these reasons to give us a comprehensive Isser. Friday, Shabbos, Shabbos for Sunday, all those are Isser under the banner of Amir al-Akum, which is inherently only an Isser the Rabbanim. There is an additional factor which many places speak out. Now, even though it's true that we said that Amir la'akum is comprehensive l'chol ha'Torah kulo, and it applies in every possible iser that one can come up with, but in Shabbos, not only is there the additional factor of Mitzvah Chavadah V'Dover, but there actually may be a source in the Torah itself for this din derabbanim, a very strong asmachta. Such a strong asmachta that in some person's opinion, which we don't really pass like, it has the strength of a din deraisa mamash. Not only is it an asmachta, it's actually a din deraisa mamash. So this is based on a pasuk in Parashas Goy, kol melacha lo ye'aseh bohem. Esther man, what does it mean every melacha should not be done? A melacha has to be done by you. Lo ta'aseh bohem. What does it mean lo ye'aseh b'loshim mifa, that a melacha cannot be done? Automatically it could be done. Kalim, Jesus Kalim is okay. So where is there a concept of lo ye'aseh bohem? It says there are Bani Mechumash that, based on the Mechilta, on the Smad, that this is referring to a melacha that a goy does for you. Lo ye'aseh, even though you're not the oiseh, but the melacha is being done for you. How? Because you asked the goy to do something for you. That is also included in the Isser of the Torah of kol melacha lo ye'aseh bohem. So we have what appears to be a pasuk, which is a strong asmachta. Nevertheless, this is a din derabbanan. But that is surely only for Shabbos. You don't find such a pasuk in kol other isurim shebetayr. So therefore, all other isurim shebetayr, it is a pure isur derabbanan. Shabbos has additional layers which give more strictness and more firmness to the basis of the isur, and this is where it's negated to us all the time. Now this is clear, that if the guy does something on his behalf, something which is forbidden, but he even does it in front of you, and even under your instructions, but he doesn't do it for you, he does it for himself. He himself would like to make a cell phone call on Shabbos for his purposes, and you tell him, here, go make a phone call. Go ahead, make this phone call. Can you say to a goy, go ahead and make this phone call for your behalf on Shabbos? The Rambam says in the name of this Rambam, in Simon Shinzayin, that this is permitted. It's not a problem. And sometimes this applies, let's say, Chesvas, they're going to deliver something to you, and he says, can I write down that I delivered it to you? So he's doing it for his purposes, but you want to say to him, yes, you could write it down. Can you tell him, yes, you could write it down? So there are muscles that you could. And we need to speak out that really, we can understand why this would not be Mechzik Shluchai. Because he's not doing it for me, he's doing it for himself, he's not my shliach. But what happened to Mitzay Chefzucha V'dam Erdover? If I tell him, yes, take the cell phone and make a phone call, that is a deeper usher, that is something which you're not allowed to express yourself in. Why does the Ramah Paskin in Shulchan Aruch that this is permitted to be done? What happened to Mitzay Chefzucha V'dam Erdover? So I believe that the understanding of that is, that before you don't even tell us a good shot, but the aside of Mitzay Chefzucha V'dam Erdover, that a person is not allowed to talk about a forbidden labor, Rishon Zalman Orbach in one of his svarim explains that there's a special concept in Shabbos. Like, why can't I talk about something? I'm not doing it. Why can't I talk? What's the problem? What's the problem with talking? So the way he defines it is, he says, Rashi says in Chumash Parshas Vayisroi, Vasisa kol melachtecho, Shtehei kol melachtecho asuya. You're supposed to feel in Shabbos that you have nothing in your mind. You have nothing to do. All of your labors, all of your needs are done. I have absolutely no melachas to do. That is the madrega that a person is supposed to arrive to in Shabbos. Shtehei kol melachtecho asuya. Everything that I need to do is done. And therefore, talking about the Isser is a transgression of kol melachtecho asuya. Why are you talking about it? It's supposed to be done. In your mind, it's supposed to be fait accompli. It's gone. So why is it that I would want to talk about it? So talking about it is a problem in kol melachtecho asuya. That's what Rishon Zalman Orbach explained. Based on that explanation, we can understand that if I tell the goy, you go ahead and write, you go ahead and make yourself a cell phone call, it's true, it's a deeper usher. It's true that those words themselves are actually asur for me to be done. But if that transgression of kol melachtecha is suya, because this is not melachtecha, this has nothing to do with me. You're making the cell phone call, I have absolutely no connection to it. So why is it that I talk about it would not be a transgression of melachtecha, and therefore it is permitted? Similar to understand, the halacha is that you're allowed to talk on Shabbos about something which happened already. For instance, you made a chasana, and the chasana cost you $10,000. You're sitting at a Shabbos table and you're discussing, do you know what the chasana cost? The chasana cost you $10,000. Is that a transgression of mimtzei chetzucha v'dabri dover that you're talking about dvarim asurim? The halacha is no. It may not be in the spirit of Shabbos, that's not what you're supposed to be doing on the Shabbos table, but it's not a pure technical avera of mimtzei chetzucha. Why? Because you're not talking about something that you're going to do, that you need to do. You're talking about the secret war. You're talking about a story that took place. According to this explanation, it's very good. It's not a problem with kol melachtecha asur. It's not about melachtecha. It's already my credit card. I don't have to work. This is not something that I need to do right now. This hasana was already. So it's not a melachtecha asur type of situation, and therefore, dibur basur don't apply. So here too, this is not my melachtecha asuya, but this has to do with what the guy has to do, and therefore it doesn't apply. Therefore, says the Ramah, based on this, what would be if this is my piece of meat, he says, and I tell to the guy, take this piece of meat and cook it for your behalf. That's more complicated, really. Because over here, it's also to do that. Even though it's not doing it for me, he's doing it for the guy. But he's taking my piece of meat and saying, "Hey, lach baser zeh u'bashel lechala atzlocha cook it for you." The Ramah says that's also to do. Pashtus is it's my piece of meat. It's my headache. I paid for this $10.99. I want to know what's happening with this piece of meat. See, even though the guy is doing the actual malacha for himself, but I'm connected to it. I have a shaykhus. So I want to know what's happening with this piece of meat. I'm giving it to him. He's going to use it. He's going to give it to his cat. What's going to happen? So it is my concern. If it's my concern, that's considered dibur asur, and there would be a transgression in the tzachetzacha, and I would be a mir ma'akum. So to tell a guy, here's a piece of meat, and go ahead and cook it for yourself, is this. I don't know, halacha l'maaseh, it remains to be a suffix, if I take my cell phone and tell to the guy, go make yourself a phone call, I'm not sure if that's included in the Ramaz Isser of a mir ma'akum, the comparable to the case of halach basur zeh. Or you could say, what's he going to do with the phone call? You know, I don't know. You can leave that a little bit of a tzarechin, whether or not that's permitted. I don't have a clear answer to that. But that is the criteria of Mitzvah Heftucha has to do with Amir L'Akum. So this is the background of Amir L'Akum. So why do we say that why do we begin off our words and say that really Amir L'Akum, there's no such halacha? And it's a misleading terminology for this issur. It sounds like it's very, very much alive and it has a lot of applications in our lives. And the reason for that is because if we walk away from this concept thinking that you're not allowed to instruct a guy to do something in your behalf, you're missing 50 or 60 or 70% of what this halacha is all about. Because this halacha, that using a guy in Shabbos to do something in your behalf, has very little to do with Amir. It has a lot, has to do with Amir. Amir is also as well as based on the information that we said before. But in many situations, the goyim are very well trained and they not necessarily have to be told what to do, and a goy wants to do you a favor, or a goy does something on your behalf without any instruction. So the whole concept of Amir al-Akum doesn't exist. So if all it is Amir al-Akum, so then there's no problem. Because what do I care that the guy transgresses Shabbos on my behalf when I never instructed him to do it? That's a huge mistake that people do all the time. Because the halacha is very clear that you're not allowed to be nehemeh, you're not allowed to have benefit from the ma'isa of a guy that's done for you on your behalf on Shabbos. Whether or not you instructed him has nothing to do with it. So whether or not it was an Amir al-Akum doesn't play a role in you be able to benefit. Yes, there's an Isra of Amir which stands on its own. But even if there is no Amir, for you to be able to benefit from that which the guy did on your behalf is just a strictly Usr. And the question is why? Why there is such an Isra if there's no Amir involved? So why is it that the Rabbanim came and said that a guy cannot do something on your behalf if I don't tell him? If I don't tell him, I didn't say a word, I didn't make a hint, I didn't do anything. He comes in, puts on the light, I cannot benefit from the fact that he put the light on for me. So here we have a machlekes in the Rishonim as to the reason behind this halacha. Tosfos Shita, the Rambam, the Rashba, and other Rishonim, they say that this is part and parcel of the Issur of Amira. We just discussed that one is not allowed to instruct a goy to do something, and that it's a pretty strict Issur for the various reasons that we have mentioned. If a person were to be able to benefit from an action of a goy without instructing him, say these Rishonim that Chazal were worried that next time you are going to instruct him, it was so geschmack to have the goy prepare something for you, and you had such a love from this, so yes, this time you had a smart goy, and the goy did it on his own, and you were able to benefit without instructing him. But you're not always so lucky. Sometimes you pick up a guy that just doesn't get it, and you're going to have to start instructing him and be able to, and then in that situation, you're going to be able to, the real issur called Amir al-Akhud. So as an extension, we might even look at this almost like a gzeira l'gzeira. But you have to understand that this is much more than just a regular gzeira. This goes into the very heart of Shmir Shabbos. Like the Rambam says, we don't want the Kedusha Shabbos to be mezalzel b'neihem. So then Chazal made a very strong gzeira. They said, not only is it also to instruct them, but even when you don't instruct them and they do it on their own, but shema you will instruct them next time. Sheyemer v'asid. And that is included into the comprehensive gzeira of Amir al-Akum. So yes, this is part of Amir al-Akum, but it's part, it's just as also when there is no Amir at all. That's the sheet of Tosfos. Rashi doesn't want to learn that way. Probably Rashi doesn't want to learn that way. Is because if the whole Amir al-Akum is a gzeira d'rabbanon, we should make a gzeira that you shouldn't come to an Amir? It sounds like it's so far-fetched. Why would the Rabbanon be so geyser in this? So therefore Rashi and the Ran learn simply. Differently, they don't say that it has to do with any future Amira. They say that you're not allowed to be Nehenna from a Maisei Shabbos that a goy did on your behalf. Not because you instructed him, because you didn't instruct him. And not because we're worried that you will instruct him. But Lamaisa, he did it for you. See, if he did it for you, the Marshal and Yom Shishleime explains, Gnaihu! It's a Gnai, it's disgusting, it's degrading. Lehenas mi Maisei Shabbos. It's a little bit, you have to have a sensitivity to this. I mean, the guy really did it, the guy did it. But since the guy did it for you, so you're benefiting from an action that was done on your behalf. It's a gnai to be in the hand of a Maisa Shabbos. No Amira, no problem of Amira, the guy can't even hear you, but a Maisa, he did it for you. If he did it for you, that is considered Maisa Shabbos, and therefore there's an Issa or no, Amira notwithstanding. Now, the halachas of Hano are very clear. You have to define exactly when it's Asr, when it's not Asr. Hano that we say Hano from a Maisa Akum. Whether you look like Tosfos, whether you look like Rashi, but to benefit from a Maisa Akum is only usher in the language of the Paiskim when you have what we would call a direct Hano or a direct positive Hano. In other words, beforehand I didn't have something, and now all of a sudden I have that something which I cherish, which I would like. Then we say that you have a physical Allah from that item, and you may not. The famous example of putting out a light. You're sitting in a dark room, you'd like to read, you'd like to learn, you'd like to do whatever you want to do. You can't do so because right now it's dark. Comes the guy and he sees that you're sitting in the dark, turns on the light for you. That is not a miral akum because you didn't say anything to him, but that is a maisa akum. It's asr because you make him the mirror, it's asr because it's in the henna. That is considered a direct positive halal, and in such a situation, the gzeirah d'rabbanan of being the henna from him is asr. But let's take, for instance, the reverse case, where you're sitting in a room which is lit and you'd like to go to sleep. And the guy sees that the master would like to go to sleep, and the guy comes in and shuts the light. You did not say anything to him, no Amir whatsoever. Are you allowed to be Nehenna from the dark? So the answer is yes. And that's not considered a physical positive Hano. That's like Simul Kehezek. That's like Menia. It's like you're taking away a problem, even though you're actually enjoying the dark and you finally go to sleep. But that's not physical. It's not something which is positively been there for you, like something you were missing before, and now that you have. That could be only something which is positive. Like missing a chayshach is not just a head or a eye. You have to have a positive action of light. But just taking away the fire, the light, making dark, that is not considered hano. So in a situation where you have no amir, and you have no hano, that's when amir al-akum, as a title, will be mutter. But in a situation where you have either Amira or Hano without Amira, so then it will be Asr, either because of Amira or because of Hano. Every time that a person judges the halachas of using a goy in Shabbos, You can't just express something and say that I cannot instruct the guy to do something for me, because then you're only talking about 50% of the halacha. You're only talking about that mirror ma'akim aspect of it. And that will not cover it. You always have to think, is there an amir factor over here? And that could be that I don't have to make any amir. Or, as everybody knows, you could say a remez, a certain remezon, a hint, a remez, shaloi b'derech tzivuri, without giving him a command, not just talking about the overall picture and the guy is supposed to chapen his own vastutzachda, that's for the remez, shaloi b'derech tzivuri, that's fine. That takes away the isser of amir. But it doesn't take away the isser of anah, because anah is there without any amir. So how can a remez, shaloi b'derech tzivuri, be better than no amir whatsoever, right? The remez is not better than no amir, it's just less than a amir. But when there's an isser without a mirror, so there's an isser with the remnants too. And the most common mistake in Hilchas a mirror lacking is this: I'm not telling him anything, I'm just giving him a little bit of a hint. Everybody knows that you're allowed to hint to a guy in Shabbos. It's completely and totally wrong. You're talking not allowed to hint to a guy in Shabbos, but you cannot have a law from his action, and therefore you're not going to gain. Now, if the situation is that it's not considered a law, and it won't be considered a mirror, so in that situation, remez shaloi b'derech tzivuri would be permitted. So the case that the place will talk about is that let's say there is a light in the room and you are able to read. However, you're not able to read so well. You have to squint your eyes, you have to look harder, and you have to put in more work in order to be able to read and to decipher that which you're reading. That, say the Paiskim, is not considered direct positive anah. That's indirect anah. The guy comes in and puts in more light now, and now it becomes easier for you to read. Easier to read is not considered a positive anah, something which you didn't have before, and you have now. You had it before. You just didn't have it so good. So therefore, that's not considered a positive anah. In such a situation, it would be if you have a remez, or if the guy did it on his own, it would not be considered as if there is a mirror, it would not be considered as if there's a no, and therefore in such a situation it will be okay. So for a cleaning lady to come into your house and do sponge and clean the floor, which will see whatever isur there are involved over there. So if you have to instruct her to do it, then you go into the area of a mirror. A mirror you cannot do. If you don't have to instruct her to do that, on her own she figures it out that this floor looks pretty dirty and needs to be washed. So then it would not be considered hano. That's not considered. That's taking away the dirt. Taking away the dirt is like taking away the lights. So there would not be an isser hano. You'd be able to enjoy the cleanliness of the floor, even though she did it on your behalf, because you didn't tell her, and maybe you miraculous her on certain situations. That would be good, but that's not considered as if you have any hano. Let me just explain this concept a little bit deeper and better. Everybody's familiar, and also one of the famous myths of Hilchos Amir Lachem is that we have a rule called Nachmi Adaite Denafshe Ka'ovit. That a guy sometimes, and very often, does things for his behalf, even though he's really doing it for you. And the reason is, because guys usually don't do us favors, they usually get paid. They're our workers, we pay them to do the job, and because of that, they do it. So the guy has a profit motivation factor to do this action for you, and therefore it's Adaite Denafshe Ka'ovit. As we said before, using a guy for Shabbos, Zoe asks if it does it for you. But what happens if it does it for him? Does it for him? There's mutter. There's no Amir al-Akim if it does it for him. But here is a very tricky part of these halachas. When do you say that when a guy does an action for you, but he's doing it in order to get paid, which is for him, when do we say that it's considered for you, and when do we say that it's considered for him? How do we split that halacha? It's very easily to confuse, because actually it does it for both. The truth is, he's doing it for you, but he's also doing it for himself. Try not paying him once. See what happens. It's not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. But he's doing it. The actual action is doing it for you. So how do you differentiate? But if there's an amira involved, an actual instruction, we don't have to talk about it. Amira is also regardless. Even if the guy is doing it for himself, I still cannot express myself and tell the guy to do something that's aser. That is not an issue that I cannot tell him. But we're talking about a situation where you don't have to tell him, where Amir is not a factor, there's a remnant, there's a self-understanding. He does it for himself or he does it for you. How do you define? So the answer is this chilek that we just said. It depends on how direct the hana is that the guy is doing for you and that you have. If it's what we call, this is an interesting concept, Tosfos says it and actually developed. But the basic idea is that if it's a direct physical hana, before I didn't have this and now I do, then we say that he's not doing it for himself, even though he has a reason why he does it. But Lamaisa, Gufa Shalai Yisrael, Menu Menu, the actual Gufa of Yisrael, all of a sudden has to say, put the Geshmaka piece that he can sink his teeth into it. So what did he do it for? He did it for himself or he did it for you? What does it look like? How does it appear? Where is the connection over here? The connection is, I am doing something for the Jewish person. That, even though the guy is really doing it because he's going to get paid, that's not considered Nachmi Adata Dinashaka Abed, the very common mistake that people make. Because when there's a direct anoa like that, then we look at it as if he's doing it for the Jew. However, when there's an indirect anoa, like in the case that we said before, where it's just taking away negativity and not producing something that I can actually hold that I didn't have before, and the guy is doing it because he's getting paid, that's when Nachmi Adaita Dinashaka Abed will kick in. So therefore, if there's a fire, and the guy comes in and decides to put out the fire without me telling it to him, in the olden days we weren't allowed to tell a guy, to put out a fire, nowadays you could, but in Chazal's days you weren't. So the guy comes in, that's not considered the direct positive halal. All he's doing is taking away the fire. So we have to stop the guy. Is it okay for the guy to do it? Is that considered being the head of a nice Avon and Shabbos? Absolutely not. But if the guy were to go and cook something for you, even though you're getting paid for it $100 an hour, before you didn't have the cooked food, and now he has the cooked food for you, even with the muktzah, and even with the other issues. But that's considered a direct physical hanor that you are getting from the guy, and in such a situation, the Allah is very clear, you don't say, Akum adaita d'nashay. It's adaita de Yisrael is doing it on behalf of the Jew. In such a situation, that is considered maisa akum. The Allah gets even more complicated, that whenever there is a Isser anor along the lines that we have established right now, not only are you not allowed to benefit from the maisa of the guy, but according to many Rishayim brought down in the Magen Avraham and in the Mishnah Berurah, there's a chiv macha. You actually have to stop the guy from doing it. Why? Because since it's going to be a situation where you're going to get direct hana, and direct hana looks like as if you are getting, there's a relationship between you and the guy, as we've explained. So then if somebody were to walk by and you're going to go ahead and see that the guy is doing this thing that you're getting direct hana from, mechzik shulcha shon Yisrael. It looks to anybody, any bystander, innocent or not, is going to look to him like, what? Like, you told the guy, go ahead and do this for me. A lot of times that's what it is. So that's a chilul Hashem. And a chilul Hashem like that is a din of macha. You have to be meicha against chilul Hashem. So you have to tell the guy, don't do this for me. So if you're sitting in a hotel and the guy is adding hot water into the coffee room, which is going low, that's considered a direct hanoah. It's cooking for you on Shabbos. You need to stop. Not only can't you use that hot water in most situations, but you need to stop the guy from doing it because that's considered the direct physical hanoah. And there's a chiyuv macha. Certainly, if it's done the base they show you so, if it's done inside the Jewish home, if it's done outside of the Jewish home, in a Jewish hotel, it would be a shiloh. But if it's done outside of the home, then you could say he's doing it for himself. It doesn't appear as if he's doing it for you. But if he's doing it in the base of Shalom Yisrael, so it comes in this three tiers. There's a mirror, and even when there's no mirror, there's a no, and even when you're not planning to have a no, there's a chiyuv macha, and they're all building one on top of the other. So that mirror akum part of it is a small, minuscule part of the comprehensive halacha of a mirror akum. There's so much more involved. You don't have to do a chiyuv macha when the guy does something which is not a direct physical hano for you. So then, whether you plan it to be in the head or you're not planning to be in the head, so then that's okay. There's no din macha at that time because it's not direct physical hano. It doesn't look very clearly to any bystander that you told him to do it. So there was a lot of cases like that. We have to discuss maybe some of the cases, but that's the basic criteria that covers it. Mr. Burr speaks out that if the guy comes into your house and he does something for you which will be a physical direct hello, and you are moicha, you actually are moicha, you say, stop doing it, I don't want you to do it. The guy is smarter than you, and he does it anyway. In such a situation, you're allowed to be the head of it. So the halacha reverses itself. If you do the macha properly, so then Israel goes away too. Not if you have a system where I go through the motions of telling you no, and you go through the motions of doing it yes, and it comes. That's awesome. But if it's not a haramba, if it's real serious, and I protest against the guy, and then the guy does it anyway, you're allowed to do that. And the simple reason for that is posh. Because what's the Israel law built in the fact? Because Israel law took away that daited nafshaka of it. He didn't do it for himself, he did it for you. But if I'm sitting there and screaming, chai, chai, I don't want you to do it, nobody can claim that this is done for the behalf of the Israel. That is the greatest manifestation of doya daited nafshaka of it, and therefore in such a situation, it's good. So this is very important to remember. that really there's three levels that a person has to deal with. Whenever he thinks about the usage of a guy in Shabbos, there's the Amira factor, there's the Hana issue, and then there's the Machal part of it. When all three of those are satisfied, then a person can actually come on and use a guy. So it's, the name of the halacha is not Amira La'akum. There is no such halacha in Shulchan Aruch. There's no such thing. There's Akum Shahid Nikmayer, there's Akum that did this, there's all kinds of made a Kemish, there's Shem Chavein, there's Reisha involved, they're all over the place. Because we're all talking about all kinds of different actions. If you're going to limit it to Hilchas Amir al-Akum, you'll come away with a scored understanding of this halacha, which a lot of people have, based on this misconception that this is called Amir al-Akum, and that is something which should not be so. So a popular example would be a hot day, 80 degrees out there. You don't have the air conditioner off for some reason, it didn't work. And now the guy comes in and you want to tell the guy, the guy wants to put on this air conditioner for you. He's a paid guy, he's a friend guy, it doesn't make a difference. He wants to put on the air conditioner for him. Now if he does it for himself, if you're going to be spending time with the guy, and the guy is going to be sweating bullets equally as much as the same bullets that you'll be sweating, for sure the guy could put it on, and you for sure could be the hemet. That's considered what Tzarek Yisrael of Akum, and that's not considered nice Akum at all. But what if the guy's not planning to stay, he just wants the Jew to be able to benefit from the air conditioning. So, are you allowed to instruct, now again, we're talking about here in a Jewish house. The halach has changed in a shul, or in a situation of rabbin, somewhat, this is not the discussion today. But in one's Jewish house, where it's a private individual. So are you allowed to instruct the guy to put on the things of most places hold that you can happen. The reason why I'm saying most places is, and this is off the subject today, but the question is, what exactly Isser is being done by putting on an air conditioner? If you hold like the place can hold that every electrical connection is an Isser deraisa, so then you instruct him to do an Isser deraisa, and therefore that's a merlachim. If the guy comes in and turns on the air conditioner on his own because he wants to benefit the Jew, you're not allowed to be mehene from that air that is being produced by the air conditioner. That is a maisa ano and is a chiyuv macho. Now, the reason why this is considered a maisa ano, we said before, that ano is only having a direct physical benefit from it. One could argue that, look, I was in this room before. So yes, it was a sweltering 80 degrees in there, but I could have lived in there. I didn't die. So I was there. I was operating. So now the guy put on the air conditioner and he lowered it from 80 down to 65. So, is that considered a direct physical ano, or is that considered toisvus ano? Just like we said before, that when the light is dimming and the guy adds light, that's not considered direct physical ano, and it's mutter. One can argue that this is considered dimmed air, and now he's adding huge air, and therefore that should not be considered direct physical ano. This argument was presented to Rav Moshe, and he said absolutely wrong. Because what the air conditioner is supposed to do, which is giving you cold air, that is not a tricepus air, but that is full and complete air. You had no air conditioning, and now you have 100% air conditioning. Either was artificial air there from the hot sun, but as far as the air conditioner is concerned, it's considered no air at all. And that's his track. And therefore he says, if a guy comes in and puts on the air conditioner for you, whether or not there was an Amir, there is an Isser Ano, there's a Chiv Macha, there's an Isser Ano, and therefore a person is not allowed to enjoy that air. The reverse, in the winter time, when it's cold out there, and the guy comes in and puts on the heat for you, the halacha changes, because we have a rule in Shulchan Aruch, HaKoyim Chaylim Heim Eitzel Hatzino, everybody's considered sick. As far as cold weather is concerned, talking about real cold weather, we're not talking about semi-cold, but real cold weather, it can be sick to anybody, certainly. There's older people there, and there's children, for sure. But even if it's healthy, regular people, if it's really cold out there, it's considered like Kolotel and Metzalatina, there is no Xera against Amir Ma'akim B'Makam Chayli. Whenever there's a situation of even potential sickness, certainly somebody could be sick, older people, children, there is no Amir Ma'akim at all, and therefore, not only is there no Chim Macham, not only there is no Isra Hano, but there's also no Denamir. The whole thing is cancelled. Don't forget, the whole thing is an Isra de Rabbanon because of Mitzvah Shluchai or Mitzvah Hefzecha. Those ideas don't exist by mitzvahs, they don't exist by Chayli, they don't exist under these types of extenuating circumstances. So the whole halacha is stretched. All three parts of the halacha do not exist when it comes to that situation. And that would be the difference between Hikul Kol under normal circumstances. Case in point. There's a well-known shayla in the poskim about Amira la'Amira, which means that I'm instructing Guy A to go give an instruction to Guy B to do something on behalf of the Yisrael. So there is no direct amira between Yisrael and the person that's doing the action. There's an amira from Yisrael to Goy A to go instruct Goy B. That is a shaila in the Pesach that the Mishnah Berurah brings down between earlier Achrenim. Mishnah Berurah says that one can only rely on the kula, the makam tzorech gadol, the makam hefsed gadol. In other words, there'll be a big hefsed. Sometimes you have no other way. So the halacha is that you can rely to tell one guy to tell another guy. The shaila between the Pesachim is this considered mirsik shluchai? Because mirsik shluchai is if I tell you and you do something. But if I tell you and you go ahead and tell somebody else, That's not, you know, you don't fit to be mamish my shliach, and could be it's not even zilzal the kedusha of Shabbos. So that's the question between the Pesachim, whether or not it applies. But this is important to know, and a lot of people make this mistake. It could be, at least according to the Mekilim, that the Issa Amira is mitigated. You took away the Amira, because since I'm not doing the Amira to the person himself, for whatever reason it is, I'm doing it to somebody who's going to tell somebody else, so it's not considered as if I was over Amira. But that doesn't take away the Issa Amira. Yes or no, he's even with no Amira. So Amira is no better than no Amira, right? Amira is just less Amira. Might be like a remnant, maybe. Maybe indirect, and therefore it's none of the problems that we began with. But no Amira is also awesome. So Amira is also awesome. So Amira can only be advanced when there is no direct physical benefit from that item. But if there be direct physical benefit, it doesn't make a difference. I think it could be 63 Amiras. But 63 Amir is not better than all Amir. And therefore, that Amir doesn't apply in that situation. People a lot of times make that mistake, and they rely on Amir in order to get direct physical benefit, and they fail to realize that the Hamnoah doesn't apply. As far as the Lachal Amais is concerned, we only rely on Amir, the Mokim Tzarech, Ahefsid Godel, but that's true only on Shabbos itself. In other words, if on Shabbos itself, I tell Goy A to go instruct Goy B to do something for me, that's when there's a machlokes, and the Yesh Lahachmer, unless it's gone. If this is done on Erev Shabbos, on Friday, I tell Goy A to tell Goy B to do something for me on Shabbos, almost all Pesachim are making them, and you don't need to have a Tzarech Gadol or Hefsed Gadol. As long as it's a need, you don't do it for nothing. But as long as it's any type of a need, you can instruct a Goy on Friday to tell a Goy B to do something for you on Shabbos. A very common example would be, if you're sending a FedEx letter on Friday that you know is going to come on Shabbos, and you want it to get there because the person needs to have it Motzei Shabbos, this is not considered direct physical benefit, because on Shabbos you're not getting any direct physical benefit, you're not even going to open up the letter on Shabbos. So that much Hanoah there isn't. The Amir is taking place is on Friday, because you were telling Goy A, and Chesos at the FedEx office is going to tell Goy B, and it's probably going to be C, D, E, and F, G by the time this is delivered to your house. So therefore, that's a vast Amir, which is taking place on Erev Shabbos, and that is something that a person can rely on whenever there is a Tzarech, that's something which is usually very important to have. A lot more to discuss in Amir al-Akum, but we do need to touch some of the other areas in Shulchan Aruch, and we will do so briefly. The second type of subject has to do with the halachas of kashrus and having a goy in the house, and how careful that you have to be about that. Now, there's two separate issues that we have to discuss. And then here again, there's a misconception entitled the Isser, which causes a lot of problems in not understanding the underpinnings of the halacha. So let's talk about issue number one is, you first have to know the type of a goy that you have in your house. You bring a goy into your house to be there around the kitchen, and even if you tell him not to be around the kitchen, you have to know exactly how much you could trust the goy. Now, in halachic terms, you can never trust the goy. A goy has known them once. But nevertheless, let's talk not halachic for a moment. There are certain people that you could trust more than others. And a great way to tell is, you know, I always tell people, people say to me, I can't leave $10 for that. I'll leave $10, I can't leave any money out but a guy. I don't trust that guy for nothing. If I leave $10, I know that $10 will be gone. But nevertheless, when it comes to leaving that guy in your house and watching your kitchen and making sure that the milk and the friendships are separate, all of a sudden, for that, you become a big maimon in that guy. So the Torah says that's a very good way to tell. If you can't trust that person, this is not a halachic test. But if you can't trust that person as a person, they have actually, you know them. You know that they're liars and thieves, and they walk away for a second, they'll kick back at you. So such a person doesn't belong in your house altogether unless you're there watching them like a hawk. Because they cannot be trusted. So what does that have to do with halach? This is not a halachic issue. Their personality doesn't lend themselves to be trusted. There's some Jews like that too, you know? A Jew has an embodiment in halacha. But if you're a liar and a thief, so then you're a liar and a thief. It's not a halachic term defining the hilchos ne'emanus of a goy. It has to be the hilchos ne'emanus of a person. And that's non-denominational. That has nothing to do with your religious beliefs. That has to do with your personality and how you were brought up and your sense of values. So that's number one that you have to figure out. If it's a valueless person, then it has nothing to do with the halachas of nemanus. But then, there are halachas of nemanus as well. That the halacha basically does not trust the guy, even if to you this guy appears to be a trustworthy person. Nevertheless, there's a problem with trusting him. Now here's where there's a lot of confusion in this halacha. Everybody in this room has heard about the halacha called Basar Shemisalim Min Ayin. And everybody knows that Basar Shemisalim Min Ayin is Asr. And we're very, very careful not to leave unsupervised meat in the presence of a guy, because if you leave unsupervised meat in the presence of a guy, it's Basar Shemisalim Min Ayin. Everybody knows it, and all the Rabbanim know it, and all the Mashgichim know it, and it's one of the most popular halachas, and it doesn't exist. There is no such halacha called Basar Shemisalim Min Ayin. Yes, it's a sheet in the Gemara, it's a sheet of Rav, in the Gemara Chumash of Tzadik Hei. Everybody knows it because everybody learned Eilam Metzias as a youngster, and it's brought down in Eilam Metzias as well. But guess what? We don't pass like that. We're passing like Levi that holds that Basar Shemisalim Min Ayin is mutter, not a problem. And the reason why we're passing like Levi that Basar Shemisalim Min Ayin is mutter is because Rav's idea of Basar Shemisalim Min Ayin is completely difficult to understand, totally, and wasn't understood by his own contemporaries. What's the reason why Rav held that you cannot have bus and it has to be totally supervised by a Jew? What's the problem? What was he worried about? What do we have to have Ashgacha Pnimius and a piece of meat that's sitting in your house? Why is it that it's in the Misalim and it's awesome? So the Rishayim Rashi explains and the Rambam explains and this Muchachim Sugi, all the Rishayim agree that we worry that a bird will come and take that piece of meat and eat it for breakfast. But that's a good thing. The problem that we worry about is that that bird will become a balas tshuva and decide that it's a disgusting thing to go ahead and take meat from somebody who owns a piece of meat. So we're going to go out there to the trade market someplace, pick up another meat, and replace that piece of meat that the bird took in order that the balas should have himself suffer. That's the concern that the Rav was worried about Basar or Salman Ayin. According to Rashi Taisus, it's a bird. According to the Rambam, it's a sheretz, a mouse, a chmesos, a rodent will come, take the meat, eat it up, and replace it. That's the problem. So even though Rav held that way, and the Gemara explains that Rav then saw a certain story, it was very disturbing to him, and because of that, in the Xero, which he himself knew is irrational and it's not a real concern, but he wanted to make a statement. There were mazalas on the surim, and he made a special takala, and he said, "Bosh zalad am is awesome." We don't pass like that. All of them Rav followed Rav. Almost all of them followed Rav. Disagreed with him. And Shulchan Aruch is very clear. At least according to the Rama, the Basar Shemisalim Min Ayin is mutter. The only exception that the Rama makes is based on the sheet of the Rashbam that if you happen to have seen the bird take the piece of meat away, so then and now you see another piece of meat there. You saw visually that a bird picked it up, and now you see another piece of meat. Then you have to be chayshish. Maybe it's not the same piece of meat. And that piece of meat was gone, and now there's a new piece of meat that's here. That's the Rashbam's understanding of Rav's Chashash, and that's where the Rashbam passes, and that's where the Ramah passes Lala. But that's not something which happens, I believe, in most Jewish homes. And therefore, the standard case of Basar Shemisalim Min Ayin is mutter. That's the halacha, and there's nothing to discuss. So what is the problem? People confuse a different halacha, and they give it the title of Basar Shemisalim Min Ayin, but giving it the wrong title yields the wrong results. This halacha Basar Min Ayin is here there, Simon Samach Gimel. Look it up. It's over there, very fresh. There's another Simon in Shulchan Aruch called Yerodeh Simon Kuf Yud Ches. And over there it discusses a different halacha. And that halacha is called Basar, not just Basar, but any food, Shemishlach Oy Hufkad Biyad Atum. That you went ahead and entrusted a guy to be your emissary, to be your agent, to deliver that pizza from the pizza store to your house. Or that butcher shop is getting a guy to take this and deliver it to the Jew's house. Or you're going out of town and you have nobody to watch your food for you, so you ask a guy, be a shomer on this piece of meat, I will come back, or I'll ask my brother-in-law to come back, and he will pick it up for you. Over there, Rav, also Rav, but totally nothing to do with this halacha, said that there's a gzeir from Chazal that we worry, what are we worried about? Not about a bird and not about a rodent, but you're actually worried about the guy, that the guy will go ahead and take that piece of meat and sell it on the kosher market or the fat meat market, which is get a premium price, and then he'll replace that piece of meat with lean meat, which is much cheaper per pound, and he'll have a profit margin, he'll have a motive to make a profit. And because of that, chashinu la'achlufi, and because of that, Chazal said, you cannot trust a guy who has complete and total responsibility on this thing. He has an achrayas, this is mine, I give it to you, I'm getting paid for this. I have to return this to you, but him may decide to make business on this. It's not enough that he's getting a paycheck. He wants to make business on top of the paycheck. So therefore, he will do this for you, and then chashinu la'achlufi. We're not chashish that the guy will do so rachas. Oh, I want to be machshel, the yid, the machalos, the stewards. Guys have better things to do. That's not their thing. That's chalim. But generally, we're not worried that they're going to do it rachas. We're only worried that the guy is going to make money off the fact that he will exchange that piece. And therein kicks in the halacha of simonim. Everybody's heard of the halacha of simonim. Sometimes you have to have one simon if it's only potential. This is the rabbanim. Sometimes you have to have two simonim to make it very difficult for the guy. The guy's going to want to make business. Make it difficult for him. Show him that he's going to have to really undo one simon and then do the other simon. Then he's going to have to put it back. Right? Because when he gets that lean piece of meat, he's going to have to replace it with the other piece of meat. Put the simonim back, because the simonim were put there by his boss who hired him to do the job initially. He's not going to want to do it. It's not worth it. It's not enough profit in order for him to get involved in the simonim. So the simonim are a deterrent that he won't get involved in achlufi. So over there is where Chazal were worried. But only if there's a situation of profit. If it's not a situation of profit, so then there's no such thing like Basar Shasal and I. It's okay that the meat is unsupervised. You know, if there's no possibility that this can be sold in the market for a price, so the fact that it was left unsupervised, so what? There's no halacha that meat or any other food can be left unsupervised. And if there is a situation of profit, it's not only meat. Like it's cheese, and it's fish, and it's even bread, as long as it could be any trace ingredient in there. All those require simonim. It's pizza, it doesn't make a difference. But not because of Basra and Salman Ayin, because of a different halacha, then there's a profit margin to a guy. It is. The interesting thing is, and we don't have time to talk about it, in the Gemara's case of Basra and Salman Ayin, the Gemara actually says that if the guy is watching it, that's not the Salman Ayin, because the birds would be scared from the guy. The guy then is acting like a scarecrow. So the guy is actually not only a problem, it's actually a ma'ala in that Gemara. How you put together the two sugyas, we don't have time to talk about it now. But nevertheless, that the issue is not the fact that it's misalim. The issue is that it could be this. And we're only worried about achlufi only in the cases that we said before, that you give it to him as a shliach or as a pekabim, and he has to return it to a chayshuv that he'll do business with it. It won't be in the popular case. You have an office. In the office, there's a shared refrigerator that all the workers have put their lunch that they get. So do you have to have simonim on that lunch to, in order, is there a gzeir from Chazal that if you didn't put simonim on that lunch, it cannot be eaten based on the fact that this is something which is nishma hanifetz? If you say this is basar shel salmon ayin and this is a turkey sandwich, then there would be a problem. But there is no such halacha as basar shel salmon ayin, it's not a problem. What are you worried about? The guy may take this sandwich and what? And what? And eat? Gesundheit, hey, hope he chokes. So what? The problem is that he might return to you something. Why would he return to you something? He's a ganav. He's stealing your food. Why all of a sudden would he return to you? He's going to steal from you. Guy won't steal and pay back. Why would he do that? He has no reason to do that. So we're not conscious for that. I was in Salman Ayin. Who cares that I was in Salman Ayin? That's a non-issue. So the point is that it has to be a situation where he'll be forced to return that which he replaced, and then we're worried that he'll be replacing that with kosher meat or food or something which is trade. Only in such a situation, and only when there is a profit margin. But in the office refrigerator, yeah, you do have to make sure that it's in a bag that you can tell that it's your bag and you're not going to mix it up with another bag. Of course, you have to eat kosher food. You don't need a gzeir from Chazal for that. But we're talking about where Chazal said that even though you know it's yours, but we've levied a gzeira on it because maybe this, maybe that will happen, that doesn't come with the criteria of Basar and Salman Ayin that there is no such thing, but it comes with a different kind of a criteria of your Yodeh, Simu, and Kufi Yitres. Sadu Chilom and Kufi Yitres have nothing to do with each other. They have a different halachas driving them, and what's Mutah here is Mutah there, what's Aseh, it's Aseh there, and one has nothing to do with the other. And therefore, you have to bechlal know. So the big issue is like this, that's Negeh to us. Leaving a clean lady with unsupervised meat in the house, in a person's house, do we say that that meat has now become usur to eat because of Basar and Salman Ayin? Certainly not, because that's not an issue. But does the other halacha kick in? Do we say you hire the cleaning lady? She's supposed to clean. She's supposed to do the vacuuming, wash the dishes. In your refrigerator, you have meat, and now you're coming home, and this meat was. What is this meat? What's the status of this meat? Now, if it's closed meat, if it's sealed, if it has simonim, nothing to talk about. It's clear. And if it's sealed, it doesn't have to have simonim. If it's tamper-proof seal, tamper-proof seal is better than two simonim. Two simonim is even if you can undo it, but it's a big tercha, chazal won't chosh. But if it's tamper-proof, it's no problem. A lot of people make that mistake. They look for two simonim. You don't have to have two simonim when it's tamper-proof. But now that you have something, let's say that it's open, or let's say if it's cooked, you have cooked stew sitting there. You left the house, I got a phone call. Oi, I left the house and I left cooked stew on the fire. The Basha Shem Salamanai, right? Basha Salamanai, standard thing. So the answer is not Basha Salamanai. And it's not Hushlach Hufka Miyaka. First of all, she's not supposed to touch that thing. If she's going to take a piece of goulash, she's not going to return any piece of goulash. That's not that she's going to take, she's going to take. So it's a different, it's not, there's no reason for her to return it. I don't know where she'll take a piece of goulash and sell it in the open market. So there is no market for used goulash, and therefore that is not something where there's a motivating profit thing. And when there's no profit, there's no gzera b'chlal of nishlach hufka b'diyarachim. So for numerous reasons, that halacha doesn't apply. It would be a good idea when we tell the caterers, or for instance, and let's say they're sending chalent from their commissary to a kiddush that takes place, and he sent it through a gun. So, it's also, because of Basha Samarai, that's not. But this is really might be a case of Hushnach Hufka B'Yakub. You are entrusting this to the guy, you told the guy, go take it. So what are you worried about? That the guy might take some chalent, right? Tameh Chaim Zafu, you want to be the guy on Friday afternoon. So if he takes chalent, we really couldn't care less. That's not a problem. What are you worried about? That the guy's going to replace that chalent that he took? Highly unlikely, it just doesn't exist, but highly unlikely is not good enough. Once Chazal made it Zayr, Chazal made it Zayr. So the best way to deal with that is to say, you tell the guy, listen here, Charlie. You want some cholent? Take some cholent. Just take some cholent. So, in the worst case, I'll take some cholent. Say, don't take some cholent. Well, you're not going to return any cholent because he's allowed to take it. You have full permission to take it. And if you have full permission to take it, so therefore that even Chashash Zayr doesn't apply in a such a situation, the whole thing. So, the terminology of the Isser and the longness behind it define its halacha, similar like we spoke about Amir al-Akim. Just not to be a liar, we have to discuss Ibn Ezra for 1 minute. And that has to do with the fact that we want to know what about it. Is there Isser Yichud with a Geisha cleaning lady, that sometimes the men find themselves at home, their wives are away, and there are situations, and from my experience as a rabbi, I can tell you that this is a problem. This is not once, and not twice, and not five times, that situations have developed between men which are in the house and between cleaning ladies which are there. And if that's, again, this has to do with the values of the person. You have to know your values. And you have to know the values of the putzer that's sitting in your house. And if those values are valueless, then let's not discuss hechasichot. That has nothing to do with halacha. That has to do with the fact that you can't associate in a putzer situation with anybody. It doesn't make the putzer. Yeah, yichud, not yichud. Doesn't require exeir d'rabbanan. Doesn't require a special additional issue. That's an issue deraisa on its own. And if a person feels that the situation is compromised in any way, that's us in deraisa, and that's not the discussion. The discussion is, if it's not, your values are okay, you hold yourself to be an upstanding citizen, this person doesn't appear to be a specific putzol, I don't know, he would know that, but at least if you marry sa'ayin, it doesn't seem to be a problem. So the question is, yichud, simple and plain yichud situations that happen all the time in the workplace and in the houseplace, and then you have to deal with megidrei halacha. But before you deal with the megidrei halacha, you have to again deal with the megidrei of the person. Those are two different areas that you have to deal with. So it's interesting that happens to be that the halachas of yichud with the goyo are halachically more lenient than the halacha of yichud with the Yisraelis. Certainly, if she's an ishus ish, that doesn't apply by a goy. So that's a chumra of skila karis ishus, much more chumra than the yichud. Even if she's a pruya. But any pluri over the age 11 or 12 is going to be a nida, and that's also again Issa the Raisa of course, and therefore the yichud with her is much more strict. The yichud with the Gaya is technically a gzeir of Shammai v'Hillel, and initially was established on Tzavet Zara, and it's really basically only an Issa the Rabbanan, depending on how you deal with all the longest that says otherwise. But the bottom line is that this is only merely an Issa the Rabbanan because Bias Akum is only Kanoim Paikim Boy, and it's Medina Kabbalah, and in itself is not an Issa Deraisa unless it's a Medina Chitin. So therefore, the Issa Yichud of them is only an Issa Derabbanan. Certainly the kulos that apply to the real Yichud of Deraisa, such as Pesach Pesuach and the Shleishan Shtein Noshim, Shleishan Noshim, the various apply that I go to, and even more so. They apply even more so. Because that even hurt, those that help you by Issur Yichud Deraisa, it certainly helps you for Isser Yichud Derabbanan. And even some halachas that don't help you for Isser Yichud Deraisa, such maybe as Libre Gasba, or maybe Chveses Iska Yiman Nashim, all kinds of halachas of Yichud, it's possible that with a guy it's more lenient, because whenever it's an Isser Yichud Derabbanan, they didn't add those things. But going back to what we said, that is only when it's a pure Yichud situation alone. If it's anything more than that, and Lev Yedea Maris Nafshe, everybody has to know himself, then we don't look at the Chizikah. Then we look at the Issa Deraisa, or Surah Mavavachan, and all the other stuff that comes with, and the Shtetz of a person has to be careful with that, because that is what a Yid is supposed to do. Thank you very much. Okay. Yeah, thanks for questions.
I was once on a plane, and the guy delivered to me a sandwich that did not have a seal on it, and I had been on a long plane trip to Europe, and I was hungry, and I said, there's no seal, and I shouldn't eat it, but I'm thinking, oh, I'm hungry, and I open up the sandwich, and Hitaki went ahead and he melted cheese on the sandwich. He was melting cheese for the others. He melted cheese.
Yeah, the reason why that would have been awesome is because they had a vested interest in serving you. You paid $1,600 for that ticket. If you don't get your food, you're going to be complaining. It looks bad on them, it looks bad on the company. They have an invested interest in serving your food. If they don't have kosher food for you, they'll make it kosher. Uh-huh. So therefore, that's awesome.
Uh-huh. So even though, according to all that you said...
Well, that's a case... That's exactly a case. Meal-wise, has entrusted the airline with this kosher food.
Right.
If they have a reason l'achlufi to exchange it, they would. This is a case where they have a reason l'achlufi.
But he didn't really exchange it.
He was annoyed with it
in such a way that it made it trade.
Right, but he had a reason to do it. He had actually a profit margin. The head steward said, find this Jew kosher food. And she did so. Why she added that, I don't know. But she did it. So this is the case where they have a vested interest in gaining, and it's like us to do it. Yeah.
My move to stop my goyish neighbor from shoveling my walk out this morning.
So shoveling a walk is a question of what issur is being done exactly. It's certainly, if there's an eruv, and even if it's not an eruv, because all the sheet is, but it's enough of an eruv to be goy. So therefore, there's no issur itself. There's a shelling, because the most points came, and at least for the guy, is not muktzah. And muktzah b'chlal is a mere akim, and muktzah is all kinds of eterim anyway. And what else is there? Ubdu d'chayim. You don't have to make a machal for ubdu d'chayim. So therefore, if a guy does it on your behalf, and you don't tell him, and there's no issur no here either, because walking on a paved snow path is not hanah. That's not physical hanah. That's minyas asimah. So whenever there's no hanah, there's no chiv machal, the way we pass it. We're not going to leave you that, but that's the way we pass it. So therefore, you do not have to do it. You do not have to do it. If it comes with a truck, you told a shovel by truck or by shovel? Okay. Well, you told by shovel. If it comes with a truck, it's a little bit more complicated, because then it appears as if you have a contract with him. And since this is the base of Shal Yisrael, so there's a Marisayan issue that you told the guy to come and do it. Now, it's true that you tell the guy at the beginning of the season that whenever there's 2 inches of snow, you should go. But Rav Moshe holds that's considered a miracle. Because you're telling him that whenever there's 2 inches of snow, come. So that's like an amir to come when there's 2 inches of snow. You can argue otherwise, because the amir is come whenever you want. But Rav Moshe holds that's considered, it's like telling your stockbroker, if it reaches 5, sell. That would be considered a miracle if the stock exchange is open the job.
And if my neighbor is using a snowblower, would it reach the local?
So there's no Israel law, and because I know it's not a problem. Whether that pashtus, you don't have to be married. Pashtus, you don't have to be married. Except that since that is done by basis of Yisrael, people could say that you asked them to do it, that you're hiring them to do it. But it's a kabbalah, and there's no Israel law, there's no chiv machal. based on Shul Yisrael, there is this concept of Laris Ayin. There's another issue called Laris Ayin that people will say that you're hiring, but it's not that mere lack issue. Okay, if he's doing it direct malacha for you, then it appears that you may have hired him to do it. It's awesome. You came along with it. No. Yeah. It's Maris Ayin. That was a mere lack. Yeah.
You have something you said, like toilet in your house, and the house and the cleaning lady, you gave them permission, or you don't have to be so fixed that she replaced it with anything, but maybe she took some. Right?
That's
you
okay.
Have to worry about kind of kalish.
Yeah, that's another issue. Yeah, of course. Yeah. You have to worry what kind of kalim she took with him. If you don't know what kind of kalim, she could have taken milk and kalim and took cholim. That's another whole issue. We didn't check. But you have to worry about kalim and how she washed the kalim. You have to worry about having a kitchen, a grinding kitchen, and a lot of different levels. Or why should help that if you have a grinding kitchen, you know, they use the pots and pans for 24 hours to make it anything yogi. So that's another subject. You know, it's, couldn't deal with anything. Yeah.
Thomas is all the best up where the comment is all from the boy. And he does something the rest the last day of Pesach.
With what? With hummus?
With hummus.
What do you mean he does with it? He eats it?
He made, okay. When he does something, like say you're a baker or something, he wants to do it earlier.
That's a whole different area.
Well, he wants to where this way he figures he can start earlier, this way I'll have everything ready.
Yeah, that's certainly a big problem, and the Kashrus agency has itself a headache.
I
understand, but he's doing it. But he's okay. So, but he's. What do you want to know? It's a mere lachim. The fact that he did it. It's the guy's chametz, and he started working with his chametz.
His chametz, but after Pesach,
actually, technically, I mean, yeah, but don't forget, the last day of Pesach is Yom Tov. So we also have that. That's certainly a law from Maisa Akim and Shabbos Yom Tov. It may not be a chametz problem, but it'll be a Yom Tov problem.
But at that moment, he owns it.
No, but so what?
It's his chametz.
But he's doing it for your behalf. The ownership has nothing to do with it. He's doing it for your behalf. That's doing a double also in your behalf. That's not doing that. That's for sure.
He wants to start your job earlier, so he's made less.
But he's trying to start earlier for you. For you, not for him, for you. So since this is considered direct on law, this is considered also. Yeah.
So earlier you said you can't give a goy a piece of meat on Shabbos and say, here, go make it.
My piece of meat for him to cook.
Right. So let's say you've got a goy, let's say people who have, you know, elderly who have lived in health. Can they say that, you know, anything here you can.
You have some of this. If you have elderly parents, that will be halachically most of the time that people.
Let's say they're not elderly. Let's just say somebody has a live-in maid. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you tell her any food in the house is yours? You can cook it whenever you want.
Tell her before Shabbos.
Yeah.
Yes. This is talking about on Shabbos. That Rambam is talking about that on Shabbos. You can't tell a guy here's a piece of meat, cook it.
But if she wants to herself,
of course you can. Yeah. There is some achrayim hold in the bias of a Yisroel. If she does it for herself, you sort of like have to make it evident that she's doing it for herself and not for you. Because if it looks like she's doing it for you, some of her whole, not everybody agrees, that then it's considered michzik shlucha shel Yisrael, by the fact that she does it. Not a mere lachem issue. It's a general maris ayin issue. Some chazal, maris ayin is also even though there's no very being done. But there's a general maris ayin issue done inside the house of a Jew, not because of a machal, not because of a mere lachem. But it looks like she's doing it for you. So you have to, in order to avoid that, you have to make it nicker that she's doing it for herself. It's a general problem if a guy comes and does work for herself. If you see she's dealing with her own cell phone, with her clothing, then it's not. If she's doing it with the stuff that belongs to a Jew and it looks like that maybe a Jew told her to do it, there's a Maris Ayin issue about that in the basis of Shalisha.
And
that story was made up.
They just heard you say you can have a goy cook in your kitchen. And you were just in the Shabbos issue.
Yeah, yeah.
You came across all those.
No, well, you were there. You were watching.
They didn't hear that.
Oh, okay. Of course.
No, seriously.
I understand. Of course, you came with a goy to cook in your kitchen without some kind of a level of supervision. We didn't get to that, but you have to have some supervision for sure. Yeah?
Between the chalpat and
the coffee maker, You mean you do it? You want to put up the coffee on a timer? You want to know that's the problem?
There's only Shabbos. Why can't you drink it?
Yeah, what do you want to do? You want to put the coffee on a timer?
Fine.
So you want to know if that's mutter also? Then there's nothing to do with Amir Latin. It's a separate question. You're allowed to put on utensils on a timer. That's the issue. Nothing to do with a guy. So the truth is, to say that it's awesome and hadin is not appropriate. It's not straight awesome and hadin. We pass on a shlisus kelim as mutter, and we pass on that you're allowed to turn on appliances with a tire, like people do. And there's no real difference between an air conditioner, a light, or a coffee maker. Iker hadin. Ramesha didn't hold of using a timer in any more than has been done. He didn't hold of expanding that heter. He held that it would be a zilzil and Shabbos and bring to all kinds of breakdowns. And therefore, we advise people not to do it. But if a person says, I'm not interested in your advice, just tell me straight Aser Mutter, it's wrong to say that it's Aser.
So if the boy turns on the same coffee maker for himself...
Coffee maker by Tatmuda. That's a mice and a great turn on Shabbos. That's a Miral Akum. A timer is not a Miral Akum. But Moshe has this interesting concept that he wants to compare a timer to a goy, but that's not the standard halacha. Pashto is a timer, is a machine. And Shvisas Kalim is mutter. You use your machines on Shabbos, your lights are on, so we pass like Basil, the machines can work on Shabbos. A goy is a special gzeri to a bottom that's not like a machine. That's the difference between a goy and a machine. Yeah.
First of all,
that
wine.
You mean an unsupervised kitchen?
Yeah.
Right, so lechatchila it should be avoided that you don't leave for goy. That's not the halacha boshes samanai. That's a separate halacha. Lamaisa b'dievin would not be a problem unless you have reason to believe that the goy has actually picked up the bottle, the open bottle, and either poured for herself, or according to some place, and shook it. Why she would do it? Actually shook it. Then it might be also b'dievin. But if you don't know that, you're not mechuyif to be chayshish. If you don't know that she either poured for herself, worse, drank from the bottle or shook the bottle, then the d'yevra will be okay. Chatchila, you shouldn't leave. You shouldn't leave unmevushal open wine unsupervised for the goy, unless there's a real yaitzev v'nichnas or a real supervision. Yeah. Well, it's not shaleach. That might be hufkat, but you're right. It's not hufkat because and the Mishnah speaks about this in the name of the Rosh. And he said, when you have a goy in your house, and their job is to do a specific job, all the other food and all the other meat now, you don't give it to them, you don't trust them with it. If they were to take that, that would be considered stealing from you, and then having charota and returning it. That's not the gzeir. The gzeir is only in the situations of hushnach and ufkat. The Besetz Bruce in the Rosh, because the Rosh has a famous case where you have a goy cooking on a pot, and you're not in the house. Shulchan Aruch brings it down, and not allow them to cook in your house alone, because the chashish that's going to splash one from the next. So he asks the Bishas in the name of the Rosh, why don't you come on to that for? Why don't you chashish vachlufi, the shagun shaves? So basically, he says no. Unless they're expecting a delivery of some sort that is going to come, and they may exchange it, but this is food that's in the house. But now chashish is going to take food in the house, run out of the house, go find somebody to sell it by, and come back and continue her work. We're not chashish for that. So they did not make the exam in such a case.
So the chashash is only when it's a chashash rebbe on the prophet.
Yeah.
So now
we're
saying that
you
also need to
maize the exam rebbe on the prophet. No, I didn't say that at all. It has to be some kind of, it may be remote and it may be minute, but it has to be some prophet marriage. There is another shayla which we didn't get to. What would be if the guy, are we chashash if the guy will eat it because it tastes good and therefore return it to something that doesn't taste good? That in Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about it, and that's not considered a profit margin. There are some Achroinim who talk about it, and the consensus of the Achroinim is that we're only chayshish for that if the goyim will be found in what they call a midbar. There is no McDonald's around. And you sent them on a trip to deliver something. So it's possible that the goyim will get very hungry, take some of that food, and when he'll get to Las Vegas, he'll buy over there, trade food, and replace it. So that is a chashash according to the Beis Meir, the Chacham Tzvi. Shlomo Kluger brings it down and argues with it and says we don't find such a chashash, that's not what Chazal we're talking about. So that remains in Machlokes Achrayim. But if there's other McDonald's available, why would she, to say, oh, she Medafka wants to eat Meal Mart as opposed to McDonald's, that we don't find, that's not considered a chufi, that's not enough.
If the goy is not
No, 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 I'm talking about in that case, then they're talking about a hushlach. He's the guy who's sent as a situation, to deliver something. Now, if the store's around, you know, he'll buy trade food. If you get something, you buy trade food. Why would we eat the kosher food? Huh? He's not supposed to be in the house. It's even better. So what are you worried about? There's no trade from the house. What are you worried about? That's even better. Then no chashash at all. Yeah?
What about, in his case, with the yain, he's cleaning the refrigerator.
Yeah, but unless you know that you picked up, drank from it, or poured from it, or shook it, you don't have to worry about it.
I mean, if you take
that's not called shaking. That's not called shaking.
That's not.
And the whole shaking business is shaky. Rav Moshe held that nowadays, even though the Mishachet says that if she shakes it, it's a problem, but Rav Moshe says nowadays they're not menasech yayin like that, so therefore, shikshuk is not considered a problem. So, it's not a written Rav Moshe, it's a Bepiyah Shmuel, that's what his Talmidim say. It's, you know, it could be true and it could be not, but that's what he held. So, it's not a thing. But unless you know clearly that you picked it up and shook it, it's not. But yes, if you know that the cleaning lady is coming to your house, do not leave unsupervised wine or grape juice in the refrigerator if it's not in the bushel. That is halacha. Yes?
It's like Shabbos, the guy makes the guy pulls the water to the cup, and there's more water than
the guy drinks for himself.
Can
give me a cup of leftover clothes? Yeah, the guy made it for himself? Yeah, that'll be okay. That would be okay, I'll start looking at the mirror lock and there's no problem. There is another, with water it'll be okay. The shayla that the Mechaber brings down two sheep is what is the guy makes a bagel for himself. Totally for himself. Can the yid be the head from that bagel? That is the Mechaber's Rishayim and some of the Shulchan Chayis base, Rashba and Taisis and other Rishayim. Bottom line is Ramacher, maybe because of Muktz issues, there are side issues involved. But technically speaking, it's not a transgression of a Miral Akum, because he did it totally for himself. But Chayshish, maybe, if the girl realizes that the Jews are buying these bagels from him, even though he made it for himself, he's going to end up making it for you. There are side problems with it, called the son, and we're machmir lechatchilo. But it's not a pure Miral Akum issue. With water, with a drink, like that, we're not Chayshish for that at all. But if a girl cooked up water for himself, the Jews are allowed to pray. Shemiyah Rishkola is only if you tell the guy to do it like for a chayla. And when you have a heter to do it. So then you say, now I'm going to do it for chayla, I'll do it for you. But the guy did it for himself. So then, yeah.
We can't put a heter that tell the guy that you can have some, right? It is a heter. But then.
In the case of a quick chola.
Somebody asked the question, can I tell the guy, you know, whatever's in the house, you can always take and make for yourself whatever you want.
I mean, there could be other problems with that, but that in itself is good.
So, right. So now let's go the other way. How far does that go as far as problems with the caliph?
Well, big problem. We're not discussing that. Big problem. Caliph, microwave oven. I personally have thrown out many microwave ovens that were used by Goyim for their pizza or for whatever it is. Not my, Shilas that came to me, it happens all the time. The regular oven needs cashing. The whole kitchen is a problem. We're not discussing that. That's a whole sugya on its own.
Big problem. I leave the cleaning lady unsupervised for 2 hours.
You know, with Hachimah you shouldn't do it, and you should find an Eitzah or some kind of a Yetzah in the situation, but you have to be smart about it. You have to test her a few times. I know that in New York what they do is they put up a dummy camera. If you want to put a real camera, it's nothing. If you know, every day you and your wife are going away for 8 hours to work, and the guy is there on a steady basis, you have to put on a camera. No question. A dummy camera also works, depends on how dummy the guy is. But that could also work, as long as there's a mirror, that could be. But so you have to let your guy. You have to test the situation. If you see that she doesn't bring in any of her own food, You have to know the logistics on the side. And make a decision. And once in a while, we could be surprised with that. There are surprises sometimes. Sometimes you could trust the guy and find out that the guy is not trustworthy. So you have to be very, very careful. But it's not a kosher thing to leave it. But a yaitz of a nechtas works for this. As long as the guy could know that somebody could be coming in at any time, you can ask a neighbor to come in. You have to sit down and figure out a way to cover her. Yeah.
Started to say something before about an elder. There's a different
place
you said when it deals with
elder. Yeah, but elder, the halachas, all halachas of a mirror la'akum, all halachas are expend it than they have the chayla she'ein by sakara. Not chayla she'ein by sakara, they do it. But chayla she'ein by sakara, or suspect. You're allowed to tell a goy, you know, let's say that somebody's in the hospital. Anything, you're allowed to tell the nurse anything. It doesn't have to be life saving, anything that's for behalf, not for behalf of the visitor. Anything for behalf of the goy is not, that's for sure. The Ramah says that every child is also considered a chayla she'ein by sakara. There's a discussion in the Pesachim what you call a child for this. We're not talking, everybody agrees that we're not talking about just infants. Infants for sure. Some hold till 3 years old, some hold till 5. Some even hold till by mitzvah. That's a drastic view. But everybody agrees that a child, whatever you define a child, is also kosher mitzvah. Even though it's not so important in the Pesachim, but it's double pashut. An elderly person who cannot take care of himself, who needs to come out to the system of others, is also a chayla she'ein by sakana. If a child is a chayla she'ein by sakana who's 7 years old, somebody who's 87 years old, certainly fits that criteria. And therefore, it's suspended, the halachas of Merlach, not a mir, not a no, not a chal, totally suspended. And therefore, you can ask them to do anything you want, to cook for them, and whatever you need to do. A Merlach is exerted their bun, al zilz al shabbos, the makam chayla legazu, and all is suspended. Okay? No, go ahead. I just mentioned. But I'll tell you after.
Is the end of this one?
No. Was you? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. You. Yeah.
Going back to the health of the yichud, there is such a thing as eshesis by a goyim. So you will be.
Technically, eshesis, in what way?
What?
Well, based on what, why you say that? Bhuvas bali eshesis, says the Gemara. They have no marriage. They don't have the technical. It's not the kedushin. It's not technically. The Gemara says ishus elohem bulas bal yeshua, which means that they're designated for their specific husband, but it doesn't have the same chumra of ishus ishus Yisrael.
So it wouldn't be al-Tayra.
It would not be. There is all kinds of tire about that, but the bottom line is that. Thank you very much.
Would I be able to get a picture with you?
Why?
You don't know why. I have you, sir.